The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This episode of the Steve Austin Show is sponsored in part by DDP Yoga. Man, looking back over the career Diamond Dallas Page had over the years, it ain't no surprise that dude's body has taken its share of bumps and bruises. And nobody knows better than the man himself, Diamond Dallas Page. He knows all about that wear and tear the ring takes on his body, and his DDP Yoga fitness system was specifically designed to burn fat, reduce pain, and heal his body from those injuries. Hey man, you might not have been in a squared circle, but all the stuff you've been through, all the hard work, all the BS you put your body through, you might be just as beat up as Dallas. And if you are, this is a program for you. Dallas is so positive that you will absolutely love the DDPY program and using the DDPY app that he's doing something he ain't never done before. He's going to give you 7 days free to try it out. That's a week to try out the program, explore the app, and own your life. And it's completely FREE, free. The DDP Yoga Now app has everything. It's going to track your weight, all your workouts, how many calories you burned, and Dallas himself sets you up for weekly success by giving you an easy schedule to follow that includes his tips for success. DDP knows what he's talking about, trust me. Now, if you're more old school and you prefer DVDs over the DDPY app, that's cool. They got DVDs. But when you buy the DVDs, you still receive 3 months free on the DDPY app to try it out. So give it a shot. Just for listeners of the Steve Austin Show, you can save 20% off an annual membership for the DDP Yoga Now app of any DVD pack. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Austin to get started. And don't forget to take advantage of the free 7-day trial on the DDPY app so you can see for yourself everything this app has to offer. You'll be amazed how much better you'll feel after only 7 days with this program. So what are you doing? Stop wasting time and download the DDP Yoga Now app and make this year the year you get serious about your health and get fit. Let DDP Yoga Now help you set your goals, take control, and most of all, own your life.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
From Hollywood, California, by way of the Broken Skull Ranch, this is the Steve Austin Show.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, here's Steve Austin.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Show. I am coming to you from the mean streets of Los Angeles, California today. I'm sitting over here at 317 Gimmick Street at my 4x4 podcast table with two microphones and a laptop computer and a Zoom H4N recorder catching everything I laid down. Hey, man, welcome to the Shizzo. I got a good one for you today. In Hodgkinson, a.k.a. Vampiro, one of the voices of Lucha Underground, came by the crib today, and we shot the breeze for about an hour and a half and caught up on old times, good times, and new times. Lucha Underground on the El Rey Network is doing their television tapings right now in Los Angeles. So that's why he's in town. Came by the crib, and we're shooting the breeze. We're talking about wrestling. We're talking about life. We're talking about bullshit. We're talking about all kinds of things. It was good to see Ian again. Ain't seen him in a while. Looks good. He's in good shape. I was watching some highlights from YouTube about some of the holy shit moments on Lucha Underground. So check those out on the end of the podcast. And they got a real interesting product. Got a lot of great athletes over there, and they got a lot of real seasoned workers. So nonetheless, we break it down, we shoot the shit, and have a good time. You're going to enjoy the podcast with Vampiro today. But before we get to the podcast with Vampiro, I'm going to keep this open kind of short because we're going to talk for about an hour and a half. I just want to make a quick announcement that I will be making a personal appearance WrestleMania weekend in New Orleans, Louisiana on Sunday, April 8, 2018 from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. I think that's what it is, 9 to 3. At the Sheraton New Orleans Hotel, 500 Canal Street, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70130, with High Spots. If you need some information on this, go to highspots.com, and they'll be able to get you all lined up on what it takes to get in there. And I'll be in there live and in living color, signing pictures and smiling and having a good time. I'm looking forward to getting down to New Orleans. I'm looking forward to eating some Cajun food. Crawfish etouffee, jambalaya, some raw oysters, and some more crawfish etouffee. That's my favorite dish down there. And also some beignets, those white-looking donut things. And a couple of Bloody Marys, and a couple of beers, and maybe a shot or two of whiskey. And I'm just kidding you. I am going to do all that. I absolutely am. I love New Orleans. Looking forward to getting down there. And again, check out highspots.com to get some more information. That Sunday before WrestleMania 34, I'm looking forward to getting down there. I think WWE is going to put on a hell of a card. It's going to be a hell of a show. The road to WrestleMania kind of, you know, been started with the Royal Rumble. Elimination Chamber cleared up some answers as far as the main event down there. And so they're stacking up the card. We're still going to see what John Cena is going to do there. But I digress. Back to the task at hand. I'll be in New Orleans that day before WrestleMania signing autographs and taking pictures. Hey, before we get to Vampiro, though, did you know that 66% of men start to lose their hair by the time they're 35? Hell, it happens so fast you barely have time to notice. The bottom line is, men want to keep their hair and take care of themselves. Well, now hassle-free prevention and solutions now exist with Hims. Hims is the wellness brand for the modern man. A one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness, making men's personal care trusted, easy, and affordable. Hims offers FDA-approved medical-grade products, personalized recommendations, plus convenient confidential online consultation with a licensed doctor. Ain't no pharmacy lines, no waiting room. The products are shipped directly to your door. And Hims passes big savings along to you, offering prescription and generic for just a fraction of the price. Sound treatment and prevention backed by medicine and science. Hey man, look better, feel better, and do better with Hims. For listeners of the Steve Austin Show, get a trial month of everything you need to keep your hair for just $5 while supplies last. This would cost you hundreds of dollars if you went to a doctor's office or pharmacy. So what are you waiting for? Save some damn money and save your damn hair. Just go to forhims.com/unleashed for all the details. That's forhims.com/unleashed. And stomp a mud hole in the hair loss and walk it dry. One more time. That's forhims.com/unleashed to get yourself a trial month for just $5.
Get ready for Legends of Sport with Andrew D. Bernstein. The Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame photographer has hit the podcasting scene. Each Tuesday, starting February 27th, Andy and co-host Jonas Wadler will chat with some of the world's most prestigious athletes of all time. Enjoy stories from life behind the scenes with the most decorated sports photographer in the business. Make sure to subscribe to Legends of Sport with Andrew D. Bernstein, beginning Tuesday, February 27th, exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the brand new Podcast One app.
This is the Steve Austin Show.
All right, I'm sitting here at 317 Gimme Street. I got Vampiro sitting across from me from Lucha Underground in Hodgkinson by way of Canada. Now you're down in Mexico. But right now you're on the mean streets of Los Angeles. You're
yes,
my
sir.
Territory. How you been?
That's good to see you, brother. I've been doing really good, and I really appreciate you making the time to invite me over. Thank
Hell,
you.
Hell, I'm glad you thought about me when you came into town, because we were always trying to hook up back in the day when
yep.
you was in Thunder Bay trying to talk on the phone, and
yep.
then we made that one podcast happen in person.
Yeah, and that got over well, huh?
And a lot of water under the bridge since then.
Shit, yeah.
You guys are right in the middle of filming another season.
Yeah. We started 2 weeks ago, and we're back at it, and new building, new faces, tons of problems in a good way. And it's rocking. People are really responding. It's fun. It's fun this time.
What do you mean it's fun this time? Was it not fun last time?
It wasn't. It wasn't. It's tough to speak about the industry and not give away things that you're not supposed to give away. The attitude in the dressing room last time was just a little bit too intense. You know, there's too many cliques, too many people with their own agendas, that kind of shit. We kind of weeded that out, and we're in the process this season where we got to reestablish people, get rid of some people, and introduce new characters. So that's always fun when you see somebody's eyes light up because it's their moment and they're so grateful. They haven't been injected with the venom of the bad things of this business yet, right? The innocence is still there. So that's fun. It's really cool to see that.
So tell me about these cliques, man, because when I first went down to WWF back in the day, it was 95, 96, and there was a BSK. Man, I remember the Backstreet Clique, and I can't remember the names of one or two other cliques. I was a loner, dude. I was always been a lone wolf, McQuaid. But what about these cliques? Guys just congregating together? Is there any animosity? It's us against them? Because, dude, everybody's working together.
There was cliques in the WWE dressing room?
Come on. but they were cool. To me, there wasn't any animosity. It was just people were cliqued up, hanging out right. in little groups.
I think when you say cliques, that's a word that it's a big umbrella, right? People can understand what it is. You kind of, for people to understand, you kind of ride with your friends and you eat with your friends, you go to the gym with your friends. That kind of clique is healthy because that's your road family. But once you have the cliques that are power hungry and they have their own agenda and they go out of their way to stop you, that ruins you as a person. That's what really soured me in WCW. You know more than me. When I first got there, I'll never forget it. It was just, I think I said it to you before, when I first came in the dressing room and I went to say hi to Sting and to Lex Luger, and I stuck up, it's in my head like it happened this morning. When I went to shake their hands and they just literally turned their back on me, that was kind of something that just took me aback. I wasn't expecting it. Then one day, when I worked with Ric Flair, I was the first newer generation guy to work with Flair in Reno, Nevada. And Arn Anderson pulled me aside. He said, you're the first one to break down this door. This is going to change things. He said, they've never been able to do this, bring a new guy into the clique in over 10, 15 years. And I didn't get it then either. But then when you see the guys manipulating, there was two tall guys. That came from Vince's company, and they went to WCW. One looked like Magnum PI, and the other guy had long hair, and he just had a knee operation. Those guys, when they were in control, I'm cool with them. They were always friendly to me, but boy, did they make life hard for some people. And seeing that breaks your spirit in the business. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess it does.
Not saying any names.
No, yeah, yo.
Hey, yo.
The description was pretty telling. Man, when I rode down there to WCW, to me, for me, it was more about the booking. The guys who had to book just didn't see anything for me. Oh, I got a couple of pushes, no doubt, because, they dropped the world television title on me as soon as I rolled in. But then, from then on, it was kind of a hard process. But nobody was really clicked up back in the days. And when I rolled in WWF, it was kind of like a friendly type thing. But, yeah, you get your guys on the road. But I think you have that stuff anywhere. But anyway, skip the clicks. Talk about what are you guys trying to accomplish this year with Lucha Underground? Because before you came over, I was just trying to if we talk about some of the shit we talked about last time, then we do, because I've been hitting it with so many steel chairs. I don't remember yesterday. I'm exaggerating, please. But
I'm not.
I'm watching. I'm ribbing on a square. How's that?
There you go.
All right, I got Lucha Underground. I'm watching Holy Shit Moments, part 1, 2, and 3. And I just see, man, just a bunch of awesome athleticism, some really great characters, and just great athletes. But man, you guys, or I don't say, well, I guess I could say you guys, because I was a big fan. We used to shoot Redneck Island over in Mexico, and man, I guess I was watching EMLL or AAA.
Okay.
But it was just, man, those dudes, and I think Mil Muertes were probably working down there back in the day. But those guys were salty in the ring, very aggressive and very, very technical. We got a lot of those elements going on here. But Now it's like the action is on steroids because, dude, the business is, y'all are jumping off the highest stuff in the world, doing all these spectacular bumps. I mean, like, where are y'all trying to take the business to now from that standpoint? It's phenomenal, but how much further can you go?
See, I keep asking, I say that. When we talk, we have the production cool down meeting after to kind of go over what happened, so we know what we're going to do the next day. I thought, who's guilty or who's responsible for this insanity? And I think it's not the boys. I don't think it's the people in creative. I really think it's the culture of the fans. Now that everybody's on streaming, YouTube, different platforms, Netflix or whatever it is that you can get, Twitch, Network, all these kind of things, all these independent companies, you can see them now. So what's happening in Australia, you can watch it live. So I think the fans are expecting everybody to step it up every single time in the ring. And it's healthy, but it's only a matter of time when somebody who's 245 pounds, does a moonsault off the ceiling, lands wrong, and somebody's knees get blown out. It's going to happen. Knock on wood, it doesn't happen to anybody, right? But I mean, things, I think the way the culture of social media and everything is expanding so quickly, you got to go. And believe me, when we're putting together the matches and I'm agenting things and I'm watching and they're like, well, we're going to do a moonsault. He's going to catch me into a power bomb on the floor through the glass. I'm going to get up and super kick him, duck that. And I'm like, well, where's the schoolboy? And what happened to, can you sell for a second? And they're like, what do you mean? I said, yeah. If you registered, less is more. And it's fun because they're like, well, no, wait, but there's a roof and I can jump and it's only 40 feet to the ring. I can make it. And then I'll land on my feet and duck this. It's like, go ahead, brother, go ahead. And they're doing it. It's insane. I don't even have an answer. It's just crazy what's going on.
How's Pentagon Jr. doing? Because I was watching all these clips and he's a big part of them. And I just love that gimmick.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's getting a little pudgy. He's getting a little pudgy.
Wow.
Getting a little pudgy.
Jesus Christ. A little stiff here.
Little pudgy. And I will attribute it to, and as you well know, if you fall into that habit of working indie shows every day and you're flying here and there, the last thing you want to do is eat right and go to the gym. But that's your business. So it's such a, you know, you're sleeping on the plane, you're waiting 4 or 5 hours for your connection, you get home, you got to slam something down because tomorrow you go back to work. I think that he's become so popular and he's working so much that he's getting fat. Does that make sense? But he's in shape. He's solid and he's strong. Don't get me wrong now. I'm not jobbing out the guy. But I do notice he's a little bit more pudgier. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's all covered up. He's not a body guy.
Definitely not. And he better stay covered up.
Yeah, but it's a great gimmick.
He's awesome. He's modified the gimmick. It's more like it looks like a motocross suit on him now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a bulletproof vest type thing.
How old is that guy?
He's 33.
Man, whatever happened to, when you talk about motocross guy, what happened to Skeletor? Or what's the guy's name? The guy that wore the skeleton outfit. You know what I'm talking about.
Where, in Mexico?
Yeah.
La Parca?
La Parca. What the F happened to him?
Okay, what do you mean? Good or
he just disappeared.
No.
I mean, I know he's been around for a long time, but I don't see him because he was down there in WCW.
Yeah.
That dude could go. Okay. He was a hell of a worker.
There's two La Parcas.
Okay.
The one in WCW was the original. Copyright fights, fighting with the office. He's L.A. Park. He's off on his own. He's
I'm talking about the original,
yeah,
Park.
The original one.
Duke at work.
Yeah, he will fight you in church if you say the wrong word or you look at him wrong or you breathe the same air as him. He's got a temper, and he'll slug it out, man, woman, or child. He doesn't care. But he is the last of – he's very Bruiser Brody-ish. How's that? He's the last of the hardcore, old-school indie guys who won't give in because he doesn't have to give in. He's still rocking. He's doing very well in Mexico. And then, of course, in AAA, we have the second version of La Parca. And he's an old-school guy. He's been in the ring, good God, about 33 years. Beaten, broken, scarred up, but he's still main eventing. So the both Parcas are out there.
So, how old is the original La Parca?
He's got to be our age, maybe even a little old. It's probably he's probably about the early 50s, more your age than mine. I'm about 32.
Tell me about that. Tell me about the salty streak in there with that guy. Was he that tough, that mean?
He's that mean, and he's bitter. He's bitter because before he became La Parca, like, you hear the horror stories that he used to work and they would give him a sandwich as a payoff. That's a shoot. And, you know, he would bleed for the business. He would die. And he's a tough guy from a tough neighborhood in Mexico. And when he got his break, he never forgot the people who gave him a hard time on the way up. And I've been in the ring with him many a times. And he will, if you try to out-wrestle him or do something more, he reminds me so much of Bruiser Brody. He will take you down, and he'll fight you in the ring, whether you like it or not. You come in the dressing room, and you don't like it, he'll tell you, we can be friends, and we can fight. It's up to you. And he'll stand in front of you and tell you to do something. He's a real tough guy. He likes that.
What is that guy? What's his body type underneath all the you know the skeletons and the outfit? What's his body type? He's like a Jake the Snake Roberts guy? Is he a workout fanatic? What's
yeah, I'd say he's like a Jake kind of guy.
But just, you know, tough. He don't
just,
give a
just,
shit.
Just don't give a shit. He doesn't drink, nothing like that. He's just a tough guy who will throw down, and he likes that. I just don't, you know, there are people in the world who are like that. And he when he's wrong, he'll admit it. He straight out has no ego like that. But when he's in a bad mood, you'll fight anybody just because.
Just talking about from the guys that I watched back in the day. What are the because here's the thing, you don't live in Thunder Bay, Canada anymore.
No, sir.
You moved back there. You moved to Mexico.
Guadalajara, Mexico, cartel heartland, right there.
How'd that come about?
Well, I fell in love, got whipped, and she's the love of my life, my soulmate. She changed my whole outlook on things, and I just don't want to be anywhere else except beside her, and move back. That's the macho side of Vampiro.
Hey, man, what's the population of Guadalajara?
6 million.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's growing.
Whatever happened to that guy, Mark Jindrak? I heard he turned into somewhat of a movie star down there in Mexico.
If you ask him, he will tell you the same thing.
What's going on with him?
He's done well.
Yeah.
He's done well. He does the odd soap opera every now and then. I think he's gotten remarried down there. I think he's got a baby girl, I think. But I think he wants out. I read an interview that he just did, and I think he's ready to pack it in and go back to the States and do something else. He did very well. Is he a Brad Pitt movie star? No. Not at all. But is he working in TV? Yeah. He's doing very well. He's still.
Yeah, but he was one of those guys that kind of came in with a body. He's a good-looking kid, you know, back with Sean O'Hare.
Yeah.
Man, that Sean O'Hare was such a talented guy. You know, to me, he was one of the biggest, most talented guys that missed the business. He didn't make it. And then he ended up committing suicide. Sadly, Jindrak kind of in that same mold, but then he went down to Mexico and found more success than I think he could have found in the States as far as wrestling.
He's still got the same body. Like, he's great. He's phenomenally in shape. But Mexico, it's so easy. It's so easy. And a guy like that who looks like him, you know, before he got married, you know, he was basically a male model. You know, he had everything. In Mexico, you work on Friday night and you go home. You go right back home, and, you know, there's tons of access to excess. And it's very easy to become lazy down there and be comfortable. Yeah. So that's kind of what happened.
So you're down there and you're thriving. You said you're producing content.
I'm hoping, because I've been talking. I went back to school and I got a bunch of degrees and all that kind of stuff, and getting into corporate wellness coaching and all that. And I'm trying to tell the younger generation. I said this to you before. You've got to find other streams of income. You can't rely on the business like you did back 20 in our day. You can't. You just can't. So, you know, I love this. I've been doing it for 38 years now, and I'm very fortunate and grateful. But I'm a creative person. My first love is music. That's where I come from. I'm getting into producing television, writing, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just kind of slowly but surely stepping away from wrestling and going in other directions. There's tons of work for that in Mexico. All the big movies and TV shows are shot there. There's tons of productions now. I'm back on my paranormal show down there. I got a huge music project where we're helping kids get off the streets and out of gangs and realize their dreams. I'm still with the Guardian Angels. All that stuff is down there. I got my Krav Maga school down there. It's just busy. So if you're either in the mix 100% or you're not, and I'm very fortunate that Vampiro is able to work it, as we say, and continue on.
Well, then I want to ask you about, how you're doing here on the main streets of Los Angeles, but with respect to the wrestling industry in Mexico, is it EMLL and AAA? Are they still up and running? What are the major wrestling companies?
Yeah, there's this EMLL, which is CMLL now, and then AAA. AAA has in the last 8 months quadrupled in size. If we were doing 200 shows this year, we're doing close to 600. We do live TV. We used to tape it and edit it and put it on the air. Not anymore. Now we, because of the Twitch network and there's a couple other Latin American streaming platforms aside from Televisa. So we're live weekly, live, straight up live worldwide now. And then we're also live. The feed is live for Mexico. So we do two shows at once for two different audiences. I get to produce that, write it. I help edit it, and I organize the whole thing. I do the live events. So we're so busy with wrestling down there in the houses. Average TV, probably between 9 to 14,000 every night. Yeah.
That's AAA?
That's AAA.
And you're doing the same thing with Lucha Underground?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how are you able to take a break from that to come down here and spend the time to do this?
For example, like this weekend we have a pay-per-view down there, so we changed the shoot dates here. So we'll do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, catch the red eye, do the pay-per-view, come right back and just eke it out. So we kind of, because this season's
short.
So
how long have you been involved with AAA now?
26 years on and off, yeah.
But now in this role.
But in this role, this is my third year. And this year I've been promoted to pretty much the executive producer of the live show. So yeah, I've been doing that for, well, a year now, actually, a year in March. So we're in March now, aren't we?
No, today is March 1st.
Is it? No, tomorrow is.
No, tomorrow is.
So yeah, it's been officially 1 year that I've been in this position, and it's awesome.
Is there one, do you like one over the other? They both same, different things to you?
What's that, creating and producing?
Well, just as far as your role in AAA versus your role in Lucha Underground.
They overfold, right? They flow. It's being that Lucha Underground is very Latino-based, Latino-oriented, Lucha Libre style. The only difference is it's in English. It's the exact same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the guys in AAA ain't doing all the crazy stuff the guys in Lucha Underground. And I'm not talking about crazy. I'm just talking about all the... They're not jumping off all the high stuff that I'm watching on Holy Shit Moments.
Oh, yeah, they are.
These days they are?
They're 80% of the guys in Lucha Underground are from AAA.
Yeah, but I know they can be from the same place, but I just didn't know they were doing the same stuff as far as, you know, the high-risk things. I thought they were keeping it more ring-based.
No, they're actually calmer here in Lucha Underground.
Come on.
You know that big, the lighting scaffold that goes up on top of the ring? We got guys every night that moonsault off of that, jump off of that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, Mexico is way crazier, way more hardcore than up here, for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you would know because you're there and I'm not.
Well, that's why I can't walk, but yes. and the difference is, the way I say it's harder there is because here we're in a building, we're in a set. It's a weekend shoot. Everybody goes back to their hotel. Nice. They don't really understand, you know, get out there and you live off donuts and Coca-Cola and get back on the bus and you're beaten up. You don't get to bathe and all that kind of stuff. Down there, it's 8 days a week, man. Non-stop. Non-stop hardcore.
You guys down there making any dough?
Yes and no. If you were an American and you went down there and you said, I have to live off this, you would be there all of a day. But the equivalent of the lifestyle you can live with the money they're making down there, yeah, there's guys that are living very well, for sure.
What is the training ground down there? Because, you know, these days with the territory system dried up, you've got a couple of wrestling schools here or there. You've got the Performance Center down in Orlando run by WWE. To come up, if you want to be a wrestler in Mexico and or Lucha Libre, where is the training ground?
I mean, there's a ton of wrestling schools throughout the country. But now that our product is rolling, we have professional coaches to teach you how to deal with stress, teach you how to deal with connecting with your family when you come off the road, all that kind of stuff.
Dude, that was called pills and alcohol when I was in the business.
Yeah, me too.
Y'all got coaches.
But
yeah,
that's step one. So,
oh, Jesus Christ, that's great.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But before we even let you go in the ring, we give you that. To prepare you for what's coming.
Uh-huh.
Then we have a national talent search. So every TV, we have local matches and they get judged. And if they make it, then we bring them to, we have a gym now and we have professional trainers there. And once a week I go with the trainers and I tell them what we need for our TV. Work on this, understand the camera. We bring in a production company and we teach them how to understand the movement and the timing. So that is a huge step for Mexico. That never happened. So not only from the coaching, we help with nutrition, we help with education. The younger guys, we're making them save money, and then we teach them how to work for the camera before they even become in the ring. So they're coming in, they want to jump around and do flips, and we're like, this is what it's going to take for you to understand and handle the fame that's about to come. So we prepare them so that they don't get hooked on pills and alcohol and start messing around and getting themselves into trouble. So we're trying to take nipping it in the bud before it even starts. I'm not used to that. I wish I had that when I was coming in, but at least now we're kind of guiding them to what we need for TV. So that's a big, big difference.
God dang, y'all are coaching these guys to work for TV.
Yeah.
You know, I know that they're very leery or wary of that down there at the Performance Center, because I see every time I see a cover, it's towards a hard camera, which to me irks my ass because I never worked for a hard camera in my life. I figured they got 8 camera guys out there. Somebody's going to catch what the hell I'm doing. So I never worked towards a hard camera. And so just, man, part of me, I understand that the landscape of the business has changed. Yeah, and it's the television part of it is the television part of it. But, man, just working for a camera is very foreign to me, because I had enough things on my mind that I needed to worry about with where I was going in that match, reading that crowd, listening to that crowd, making a split decision right there, and working that crowd rather than just going through a set of moves to try to do something. I was working that crowd. I didn't give a flying shit where the camera was. So now these guys and these gals are having taken all that stuff into consideration.
They are, but Yeah. I'm like you. It's all about spontaneity. I mean, if you don't have that, you're not going to make it. I don't care what, you know, and it irks me beyond belief, the WWE system. I don't know it. I've never been there, but I can see it. And people tell me. I think it is so wrong that some agent or some dude who probably never really made it, but was on the cusp, but is a bitter mother, you know, and he tells you what to do with your character. I'm against that. I hate it, and that's probably why I never went to WWE. Too rebellious. What we teach these guys to do is say, listen, when you go in the ring, the hard camera's there. Stand there for 4 seconds. That's it. Don't move. Don't jitter. Don't shake your hair. We need that shot because the commentator is going to talk about you. During your match, we map it out. You're going to fly. Don't fly to the hard camera. Tell me where you're going, and I will put a camera there. So we kind of have a roadmap. We don't really tell them, you know, we don't do the ABC generic thing where everybody looks the same and everybody has to do the same moves and pin the same way. We're not that bad. But we kind of give them a heads up because we're live. And there are people in Japan who don't speak Spanish, and there's people who in Australia who don't understand what the hell is going on. We need to explain to them. So even though our show is broadcast live in Spanish, I'm in front of the board, as you can imagine, and with my headphones, screaming, swearing, throwing things, yelling at the cameras. And then all of a sudden, there's a little box that comes on the TV, and it's me live. And I turn around, and I say, this is what's going on. Heat up, and this is what's – and it's got to move. And it's fun because I get to give the middle finger to everything and everybody my own way, but I also get to explain things in English. So It's just such a fucking mess. But it's so different because it's organized chaos. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but it's working.
Well, what about the how you guys are shooting Lucha Underground? Because, I mean, like, that is going into post.
Yes.
Guy botches just a redo? Without making it look like a redo?
No, we've had, I think in the 4 seasons, there's been twice where we've had to redo things just because it had to happen. But our philosophy is the old ECW, man. If you fall on your face, that's what's going on TV. And I love that.
Yeah, I do too.
So it's like, okay, you want to do a triple moonsault. All right, dude, if you fall on your head, that's on you. And, it's pretty exciting because sometimes, man, you see things, you're like, oh man, but, they keep going. They keep going.
Hey, here's the thing. I sent out on my Twitter account, at Steve Austin BSR, and on Twitter, you are at
Vampiro_Vampiro.
And one of the questions that came in was to get your thoughts on the Sexy Star incident. This happened about almost a year ago now, 9 months ago at least.
Yep.
So anyway, dude, I saw a clip of it. What happened? What are your thoughts on it? Because, man, half the people just blackballed this Sexy Star chick.
Do I think she shot on the girl? No. Do I think that she lost her temper? Yes. They beat her up. They beat Sexy Star up on purpose. You watch the match. If anybody knows anything about this business, you can tell. There was a lot of heat going in. There's major heat going in. And if you can see, they really put it to Sexy. And she's arrogant, just like anybody else in this business. And she lost her cool. And, I mean, if you beat her and slap her around between the three of you for 15 minutes, and you can see her trying to fight back and they shut her down, you know very well, sooner or later, the first chance that you get, you're going to swing. And I watched it. I rewatched it. I was there. I think she just lost her temper. Do I think she popped the elbow? No. Do I think she had it on very snug and didn't let go and she was supposed to? And I think the other girl loosened up just a bit too much and was too naive? Yes. Is it an unfortunate circumstance? Of course it is. If it was the boys, there'd be a fight.
Right.
And there almost was in the dressing room. It got, I haven't seen that. I don't know. I haven't seen that probably in about 15 years where the whole dressing room was ready to go. Yeah, it got intense back there.
So whatever happened to her? Is she still working anymore?
Because of that, you know, her husband's a world champion, pro boxer.
Yeah, I was reading about him.
And then she wanted to get into the ring and start fighting. So she started, she's done some fights. I don't know how well she's done, but she's got it in her mind that she's going to become a woman's champion boxer. And it's kind of like, listen, you're in your 30s, you got a baby, you've never been beaten up. You're taken care of. You come from a, you know, economically well-off family. You're going to go in there with some girl from the south of Detroit, and she needs to eat. She's going to hurt you. She's going to hurt you bad. Don't do it. And that's the last I heard of her.
So what's Rosemary doing?
I don't know, but every time she works, she gets hurt. So I hope that she's not really hurt, and I hope she takes care of herself, because Rosemary's a great girl, very kind, very humble. She was really cool, you know? But I heard she got hurt again. Somebody did something to her. I mean, poor girl. I wish that she can get better and do her career. She stayed in TNA, but I just read, I guess it was last week, she got hurt in some indie show. So she's not having a lot of luck, I think.
Hey, man, here's a question for you. With the WWE, man, the women have been going crazy with respect to higher-profile matches. Their main event in Raws, their main event in SmackDowns, their main event in pay-per-views. There's more on the roster, and they got some quality women that can go. So is there going to be more of that? Or with respect to the women, how many women are in AAA? Or, like, I know Eva Lise in Lucha Underground. Is she still there?
Yeah, she's there.
Okay, but, I mean, is there going to be more women wrestling in Mexico? Or I mean, is there the same movement, or can there be over there? Or what?
I'd love there to be. There's just not a lot of opportunity. I mean, Mexico is such a closed macho mindset. We've got three new girls coming up through our system, and they're great. They're great. But it's not like the WWE where we can put them on contract, put them in an apartment, feed them, and train them. We don't have that luxury. It's unfortunate because there are a lot of young girls out there who want to be professional wrestlers. We see it. But they're not afforded the opportunity. And the promoters don't ask for them, so they can't make a living. So if they're married and they have kids, it's very tough. Very, very tough. I'm hoping that there's a solution, but I just don't see it. I really don't. Not yet.
Hey, man, I told people to send in some questions, and then here's a random question. Well, it's random because we're talking about something else. Vampiro, do you by chance have the Wrestling Society X Championship in your possession? Do you have any fond memories of performing for WSX? Lucha Underground reminds me of Wrestling Society X and venue appearance, so just thought I'd be the first, champ. Love your podcast, Steve. Stop by the Taco Capital of the World when you get a chance over in Fresno, California. Pedro, I will. Mexican food is my favorite food in the world. Vampiro, where is the Wrestling Society X Championship?
I got no idea.
Dude,
if I
kayfabing?
No, I wanted to steal it myself.
Yeah,
but I think one of the guys in the office got it before me. I have no clue where it is. I wish I knew, because it'd be on my wall. I would have stole that if they would have let me have it for more than 5 seconds.
Dude, tell me about Wrestling Society X. Sure. I don't know anything about it, because they said, do you have any fond memories of it? How long were you there? What is it?
I mean, it was something that MTV did. And very, when I say similar to Lucha Underground, I mean, they did it in a warehouse. It was extremely post-produced, crazy matches. Piranhas in a fish tank, and you had to slam a guy in there. Things like that. And I was like, God damn. But you guys go ahead, man. I'll take give me a hip toss, and I'm good. you know, it was hardcore oriented. There was a lot of things like exploding cages and that. Was the memories I had, that's where I met Zakk Wylde. That's probably my best memory. Because that we used to have live bands, but famous people like Zakk, like Good Charlotte was there. I think Tech N9ne was there, a rapper. Bands like that, people like that. And then they would go and sit in the announce booth and call the matches with the announcers. I thought that was awesome. Because, you know, Zakk, he don't care. And he was fun. And he was so cool. And I learned so much just listening to him talk. That's probably my fondest memory. The fans were cool. I think that that product was ahead of its time. MTV was going to push it, but then they switched management and they started going with the Jersey Shore type things, and we just got put in the shelf, and that was it. We did the whole season in a week.
Man, here's a question you might have already answered. Came in from Mike Tackett. He said, will Lucha Underground ever have a developmental program? You were speaking about AAA, but now we're talking about Lucha Underground. Do you see maybe something like that happen for those guys? Because, man, it's a wrestling show on El Rey Network.
I don't think we will have a development system, but there is definitely, we do have tryouts. And even this year I saw, like, when we were setting up the cameras and all that kind of stuff, there was about 20 guys and girls there doing, like, tryouts. So I don't think an actual development thing. I think it's like, even if, I think in Lucha Underground, what people need to know is you got to be in the right place at the right time. It's not your talent. It's your desire. And if you're willing to have fun and understand that this isn't a full-time gig and you come in there, you're probably going to get a shot. Yeah. Because we're always looking for, you know.
Yeah, but you got to have some talent, man. I mean, because you could want it as bad as, you could want it more than anything, than anybody in the world. But if you ain't got no talent, you ain't got no talent. But
I think charisma more than talent. Today's
I'll go with you on charisma.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. But if somebody has zero ability and they just can't, you know, and I'm taking it to the extreme, got two left feet, then you can.
That would be me.
Come on.
That would be,
dude.
Brother.
I
couldn't
you
give
had
you
a pretty good move set. I'm calling bullshit.
Listen, if you told me to give you an arm drag, I wouldn't know what the hell to do.
Well, I wouldn't know how to take one.
There you go.
Yeah. So hip toss me.
Yeah, it's like, go.
I'll feed you for, I'll pull a double rib. I'll feed you for an overhead press.
Oh, dude. I didn't get
sandbag you. Jesus Christ.
It ain't gonna happen.
You know, here's the, I think I'm a heavy guy to pick up. In my wrestling prime, I was at 252, 255. I'll never forget working with Ric Flair. I was just talking to Flair on the phone yesterday, wishing him happy birthday. Happy birthday, Rick.
Hey, Rick.
But I'll never forget the time I suplexed Rick. And Rick probably, you know, after he had his plane crash and he broke his back, because he used to be a real big burly guy.
Yeah.
And so, but when he settled down and he was in that 235 range, which was the perfect height and weight, I think that's why he was so successful. Obviously, he was the best worker in the world, but he had the perfect body type. God dang, I was thinking, man, I'm going to suplex Ric Flair. This is going to be the easiest thing in the world. God damn, I thought it was going to blow up my back trying to suplex Flair. You know, he wasn't sandbagging me. He's just he's the heaviest 235-pounder I ever suplexed.
Wow.
And it was great. And I tell that story with a big smile on my face because I just thought he was going to go up and over for me. But I was like, God damn, I got to work for this son of a bitch.
Yeah, I something similar. I'm not a big guy. But, you know, when you're on the gas or whatever it is, you get that feel and you get that look. You know, you're hard. And I had a singles match with Lex Luger back when he was Lex Luger. And I was like, oh, man, he's just Lex. He couldn't pick me up to body slam me if I paid him $10 million.
Come on.
He dropped me and he yelled at me. And I'm like, I looked at Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And I was like, what did I do? And she goes, I don't know. And he was just so mad because, you know, he's all jacked up and he couldn't pick up a 220-pound guy. Couldn't do it.
And you were sandbagging him.
No, I didn't know what the hell that meant back then.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, just tell me what to do and I'll jump. And he couldn't do it. He dropped me. Unbelievable.
Here's a question. Greetings. Some of the most popular with the fans participants in Lucha Underground have left AAA on not so great terms in the past year. How does this affect the working relationships during the taping and the future of these luchadors in terms of the show? Can't wait for season 4 to air. That's coming from Crystal.
Crystal, it's like any other business. It was kind of like the kids became teenagers, so they fought with the parents. But then once they finish college, everybody loves each other again. So it's wrestling goes in cycles. I've always said it, and whatever happened 3 years ago, wrestling is the only business that will forgive the sinners in a heartbeat. The more you misbehave, the more accepting people are. They want to have their enemies close. So even if you left on bad terms, at that time, the reason you leave on bad terms is because you don't have anything to judge it or go up against, like as an example. And I just think that these guys were tired in Mexico. They were very hungry. They wanted to grow. Mexico was moving slow, as an example. They went out on their own, and things are coming full circle. People are talking, and it's going to work out. It always does. Did you ever think you were going to see Jeff Jarrett in the WWE Hall of Fame? I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And I mean, that's a classic example. In wrestling, everything is forgiven as long as you put butts in the seat.
All right, I'm going to take a quick pause for the calls of my conversation with Vampiro and give big ups to TrueCar. Here's some useful car tips you might not be aware of. A coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean your interior. Removing excess weight from your car will improve gas mileage. Placing your key fob to your chin will increase its range. Might sound strange, but it's true. Are you ready for one more tip you might not know about? TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That's right. TrueCar is not just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, users can see what others paid, so they know if they're getting a good deal before buying. They're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. You're also going to need car insurance for that new vehicle. So go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. That's right. Save hundreds of dollars on car insurance at GEICO.com. Extra money in your pocket? It may just be the most rewarding thing you do today.
Hi, this is Lillian Garcia, host of Chasing Glory here on Podcast One. Every week I'm talking to the biggest athletes and entertainers about their journey to success.
Did you hear this week's episode?
Stephanie McMahon is on Chasing Glory.
Thanks for having me, Lillian. That was quite an introduction.
The highs.
Let me just say that announcing the first ever Women's Royal Rumble was one of my most memorable moments.
And the lows.
I've almost been fired numerous times. It hasn't always been pretty.
This week, I keep it real, raw, and inspiring with WWE's Stephanie McMahon. Everything you want to know and didn't know.
What do you feel like having three daughters for Triple H has meant to him?
Make sure to subscribe and download new episodes every Monday of Chasing Glory with me, Lillian Garcia. You can get it exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, or on the all-new Podcast One app.
All right, before we get to the rest of my interview with Vampiro, Ian Hodgkinson of Lucha Underground, let me give a quick shout out to DDP Yoga. DDP Yoga is a kick-ass cardio workout and will dramatically increase your flexibility and strengthen your core, all with minimal joint impact. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Austin and take advantage of the free 7-day trial on the DDPY app to get started.
This is the Steve Austin Show.
How did you like working with Sting and WCW for coming from Jerry Collins?
As a person, I was really disappointed after when he spoke bad about me. But I have nothing but good things to say about him.
He what did he say about you?
He said that he didn't like the gimmick wasn't getting over, my work rate was bad, things like that. And we all know why those things get said, right? You know. But to be honest with you, he took the time to talk to me, to explain things to me American-wise, business-wise. He smartened me up to a lot of things. I thought it was an amazing education, and even though we're not the best of friends, I'm so grateful to him that he took that time to teach me.
Hey man, I had a guy come out of Tough Enough. We did Tough Enough, I guess, in 2011. I cleared the memory banks there. Steel chairs to the head. 2011, Tough Enough. We called him Donnie Osmond. He's down there working for you guys as The B. He's the Marty McFly.
Marty the Moth.
Marty the Moth. Pardon me, Marty. Marty the Moth. He's still around?
Yeah, well, yeah.
He looks like he's coming around. He looks like he's picking up the game.
We got him in Mexico. I told him when he came to Lucha Underground, he didn't know where to go with his character. And I said, go watch the movie The Cable Guy. You're Jim Carrey. Be that guy, that insane guy who's too intelligent for his own good. And he's had about 3 years to work on it, and boy, is he on fire. He gets it. Yeah, and he's a big boy. He's a good kid. He doesn't got any bad habits. I think he is going to do something in this business for sure. He could. He could be in New York easy.
Yeah, you know, he smoked his ankle when we were filming Tough Enough. I felt bad for the kid because I had to take his belt from him, which meant that ended his little run. Didn't have a chance to be the finalist. But I figured the kid, you know, had a good look to him. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but he did have some talent.
Yeah, and there's no doubt.
And he had the passion.
He's a big boy. He's easy 250-something right now. He's big.
Yeah, and he's been in the gym, and he's been getting his nutrition. I think he's got his own nutrition company as well now.
Yeah, that's too. Doing well. I told him, I said, look, you're a stockbroker. Don't quit that job. Don't be stupid. Wrestling is fun. Enjoy it. Make your money. You're great at it, but don't let – you got two houses and a wife. You're happy. Don't make the mistake that all of us made and give that up. Dude, we wish we had that to fall back on. Just go slow. And he looked at me and he just didn't get it.
He didn't want to be a stockbroker, though. He wanted to be a pro wrestler.
Yeah, go figure.
Okay, so let me ask you something. So with Lucha Underground or AAA, you guys pro wrestling, you guys sports entertainment, what are you guys these days? What are you branding yourself as? Because, you know, I'm old school. I'm 53. I was a pro wrestler. These guys these days are sports entertainers. What's AAA and what's Lucha Underground?
It depends what you got to explain to the law officer when he pulls you over. Pro wrestling. 100%. I'm old school too. I'm a pro wrestler. I'm in the pro wrestling industry. Is it sports entertainment? To an extent, I think now with all the music and the women and the costumes and the guys and the presentations and the social media, is it entertaining? Of course, but we're pro wrestlers and that's just that.
I mean, you were talking about music and you brought up my good buddy Zach Wild from Black Label Society, and he also played for Ozzy for many years.
BLS,
baby.
You got
BLS all tattooed on the hand.
Yeah,
Jesus,
dude.
Jesus Christ. So you're serious about the Black Label?
A little bit.
So these days, music-wise, what are you into? Because I know you're doing some music stuff down there. But what are you trying to play or what are you listening to? What are you digging?
Well, I've always been a musician, a guitar player, and I got a few bands. One's a punk band. The other one's a rockabilly band. That's always been my passion. But I'm part of this project called Trackster. Trackster.com, if you look it up. It's basically, we've got over 2,800 studios worldwide with professional musicians, famous rock star people. We got the drummer from The Who, for example. If you hum notes into a microphone and say, this is my song, give it to us. We will send you back 5 versions, professionally produced, radio-ready songs that you can upload to iTunes and sell your music. So basically what it is anybody who has a dream, who wants to be in a band or be a writer or a singer, whatever, send us strum a few chords on a guitar. We will send it to the guitar player who used to be in Guns N' Roses. We will send it to a guitar player who used to be in Motorhead. And they will come back with versions of your song. You pick the song you want. We get a small percentage of it, and you start making money. It's awesome. It's amazing because now we're cutting out the record companies. We're cutting out, you know, people kissing ass to get a good producer. You just come to us. It's free. You just send us your stuff, and once you start making money, we make money.
Dude, how'd you get involved in that?
It was a childhood friend of mine who we were in a band together when we started out when we were young, and he became a top executive in the financial industry. He's a music fanatic. He invested in an amplifier company, and this just progressed from that because there was nowhere for kids who didn't have money to go and make a great-sounding album. And it was just a brainchild. It's been about 25 years of work, but now it's rocking.
So you play guitar?
Yes, I do.
So, like, who are your inspirations?
You know, I'm a Ramones guy. Like, Johnny Ramone was my, you know, I grew up with that. Any psychedelic rock band like The Who, The Sonics, all that kind of garage punk from the 60s, I love that stuff. Chuck Berry. Then it became Johnny Ramone, the New York Dolls, the Sex Pistols, the Clash, the Misfits, all that kind of Social Distortion, all that kind of semi-rockabilly punk mix. That's my thing, no doubt.
What would you define rockabilly as? Because I hear that term a lot, but I just don't know what rockabilly is.
Rockabilly, if you looked it up, it would be, you know, that was kind of like the Fats Domino, Little Richard being stolen by Elvis. That period of mix being that it was hillbilly music and it was rhythm and blues, they kind of did that mix so that rockabilly sound. A modern version would be the Blasters or the Stray Cats, something like that. But rockabilly rock would be, you know, Bill Haley in the Comets, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
Greasers, American Graffiti, that kind of thing. 50s music.
So these days down in Mexico, what are you listening to?
I listened to what I grew up on, right? All that stuff I just mentioned, the Dolls, Ramones, Sex Pistols are real big, was a big part of my life. Anything that's, it's that, that era, the early Who, this band, the Sonics is one of my favorite bands. But I'm in a rock.
I gotta check him out. Are the Deftones in your mix?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, they were a little bit, you know, new metalish, but yeah, of course they are. Yeah. But you know, the Sonics, they had that, you know, that song "Have Love Will Travel." As soon as you hear it, you're gonna know it. Great band, great band. You know, guys are in their 70s and they're still playing, and they scare you how powerful they are. But I'm in a rockabilly band now, and it's fun. I don't tell anybody it's my band because I don't want anybody to come and see Vampiro the Wrestler playing with these dudes. And it's fun, man.
So do what your setup, because I'm thinking, okay, you got your Stratocaster, your Telecaster,
no,
your
Les Paul. No.
What are you playing?
Gretsch, man.
Gretsch.
I got a big ass Gretsch.
Hollow body?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
I guess I can see why you'd want to use that for the sound.
Well, yes, and the look. Because a Les Paul, I'm too tall, I'm too big. It looks small on me.
Yeah.
You got to look cool when you're playing the guitar, man. So, you know, Billy Duffy, when he was, he had the White Falcon. I got a White Falcon. My friend in Rancid, Tim Armstrong, he had a signature Gretsch. It has a big body. I got that. It's jet black. And those are my babies, man.
So what's the amp you're playing out of?
Marshall. Yeah, Marshall Stack. Yeah, I can't get away from that.
So how often are you doing the music thing? Because, man, I've been really, you know, my buddy Chris Jericho, he'll go in the Hall of Fame here whenever they decide to put him in. Had a great run, one of the best pro wrestling runs probably in the history of the business. And now he's out doing his thing with Fozzy. So, and they're traveling all over the place. So how often do you do the music thing with all the things that you're doing with AAA and Lucha Underground?
I mean, if you're a musician, you can sit in your bedroom and play and you're happy, right? I do that every day. With the band, we got an album coming out. Probably come out in May, and there's going to be some touring going on, so we'll see how it goes there. The other band that I'm in Mexico, we've been around for 26 years. We've been touring. We've got 8 albums out. We play almost every weekend.
What's the name of the band?
Gargoyles, right?
Yeah.
But it's a Ramones-type band, a very, very, you know, simple three-chord punk rock.
Okay, who's the leader of the band? Who's singing? Who's writing all the stuff?
They are. They're the Mexican guys. Nobody would know them, and I'm just like, don't tell anybody I'm in the band. I'll stand in the back, turn me up, and it's my release. It's where nobody says Vampiro. I don't have to talk to people. I'm just a dude playing guitar, and it's the best time ever. Yeah.
So what are you wearing on stage?
Black leather jacket, ripped t-shirt, Converse, black jeans, a couple beers, and yeah, that's it, baby. Turn it up loud.
Lucha Underground, you guys, you're down here. You sent me a text message. You're down here, what, a couple of weeks now?
Yeah, this is going into our third week. We got
how much more you got?
Three more to go.
Weeks.
Yeah.
And so that will be how many episodes?
26. We're doing 3 days a week, 3 shows a night.
How tough is that to work with? I mean, the writers coming up with this, is it still the same guys writing?
Yeah, same guys.
Is Eric Van Wagenen still part of it?
Yeah, Eric Van Wagenen is there. Chris DeJoseph.
Yep.
Christopher Roach. I got my fingerprints on stuff. I'm kind of like the go-to guy for everything. I fill the holes, right? Producing, editing, writing, and agenting. That's my thing. And then commentating, and of course, the Vampiro character, he'll be back, so I'm told. New look, new time, new place, new aggression, ready to go. But it's tough for them because they're not full-time wrestling people. It's easy for me because it's like 3 hours, that's it. Let's do it.
You said something about editing or helping with editing. Will you go in there and say, hey, man, the guys, I like this? Or what do you mean?
In Mexico, I'm 100% hands-on. Oh, okay. In Mexico. Here, I'm invited to the editing sessions more than anything to learn. And, of course, if I have I pick things out that the other guys don't. And I'm being brought into the fold, learning that craft, because it is a craft. God, I always thought that to make it in pro wrestling, you had to be the guy in the ring. I'm telling you now, if you're not edited right, if they don't shoot you right, if the commentators don't have the right verbiage and the storyline ain't right, I don't care how talented you are, you ain't going to make it. You better show respect to that side because those are the ones who are the pulse of the show, period. To me, Matt Stryker is the guy who sets the bar. His attitude, his tone, his stuff he says, and he gives me something to bounce off of. That, to me, is the... You can do all the crazy flying you want, but if you don't have that, the show ain't going anywhere. That's what I think.
How is the guys that you mentioned a while ago, three or four guys writing the show, evolved with this now being the fourth season from season one with respect to storylines, wrestling, making it all cohesive or better than it was? Because you said it's a new look, and there's some different things about it. You got some new characters coming out, but has there been a changing or a maturation in the writing?
For sure. You have to, right? It's a two-sided coin. You get into a groove because you know what our fans expect. You go to your restaurant, you see the menu, you want your favorite dish, but what's new on the dessert menu? So you got to always come up with something new to give them that little hook. I think that it's so intense and it's shot in such a short period of time. You don't have that luxury to get comfortable. You got to come in and you got to hit it and you got to be like, oh my God, I've got to shock the people, because now things have changed so much. You have no choice, because the attention span of today's fan is 2 minutes. If you don't hook them in 30 seconds, you're done. So, okay, well, jump out of the building, but this time let your head on fire. And then when you land, bleed. You've got to go extreme. There's no other way. So these guys, they've got their work cut out for them, but they're doing it.
Hey, man, I saw on the Holy Shit Moments, I saw Ivelisse. Is she working as Ivelisse down there?
Yep.
Okay, is she still around?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, man, she was talented and tough enough. Let me see, I think she had an injury as well. And so she dropped out. But I told her there on TV, I said, you belong in a ring, and she's still around.
She's great. She's a pain in the butt, but in a good way. Because the reason that she is so awesome is because she doesn't back down. She has something that she believes in. Her conviction is so strong. Like if she, you know, she works with the guys a lot. And some of the guys just don't want to deal with her because she's a girl. And I'm against that. I think if she wants to get in there, she's a brother or a sister, and she's willing to bleed just like you are. So you better give her that respect. She won't back down, and she will get mad and get in your face. She's Puerto Rican. She's hot-blooded. She's very beautiful, and she's talented. But boy, oh boy, does she fight you tooth and nail for the last ounce of whatever it is. If it's a headlock, well, why am I giving the headlock? 3 hours later, well, why am I giving the headlock? It's like, Evie, no. She won't stop. And I love that about her. Everybody hates it. Everybody hates about anybody who's rebellious in this business. But she's doing it for a reason. And I love that about her, that she just doesn't care what you think. She will tell you what she thinks, and I really love that about her.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, when we were doing Tough Enough, man, I absolutely loved her. Loved her spirit, loved her competitive attitude, and, you know, she's tough.
Yeah.
And so she could work. And this was in the formative years. It's back in 11. But, you know, then I heard, you know, down there in the camp, she's got attitude problems. I'm like, man, I didn't catch no attitude problem from that chick. She was cool with me. She was cool on the show.
Yeah.
And so then I'm hearing an attitude. I mean, yeah, so yeah, maybe she was stubborn. But I don't know. I agree with you. I like somebody who's going to stand up and fight for something.
Yeah, well, I think what one of the best lessons, and I share it with the young talent, and I used it this weekend. I remember Mick Foley said that when he wasn't Mick Foley yet, and he had to do a job for Sting, back before the big boom, Sting just wanted to kill him. And Mick said, well, let me do something so that you're beating somebody. A lot of people don't understand that, but I got it right away. And I think it was probably one of the more important lessons in my life. And I was already 20 years in when that happened. And I use it all the time. You need to construct the logic behind the violence. If not, it doesn't make any sense. And she's the kind of person who will do whatever, but if she's convinced that it has to be this way for that reason, she won't back down. And I just think it's the most important asset for a new talent is to believe in themselves so much that they can convince me, because you got to convince the fans. And I think that she's way ahead of the game on that.
Right. I just saw your black van pull up. You on the time schedule?
No, dude.
Figured,
not at all, man.
You got a posse in there with you?
Nope. Nope.
Traveling solo?
Yes, sir.
Where are you staying out here?
Downtown LA, about a block from the new studio.
You hitting any clubs? Or are you?
No, God, no. I'm getting too married, busy? Man. I ain't going nowhere. I'm in my room answering the phone. Where are you? I'm right here. Playing my guitar and writing TV for AAA and just kind of chilling.
What do you think about being here in LA versus Guadalajara versus Thunder Bay?
I mean, Thunder Bay, I grew up there. I left for a reason. I went back because my daughter finished high school there. She's going to college now. So there was a reason I went back. Guadalajara, you know, it's I see it with different eyes now because now I'm in love, right? So I go to the restaurants, I go to the movies, so it's a whole different thing. But I was L.A. is Vampiro is born and bred in the streets of L.A. This is, you know, rock and roll heaven for me. Everybody says don't go to L.A. because everybody wants to be an actor. Well, no kidding. That's why it's called Hollywood. I love it here. I like going into the used guitar shops, the used clothing stores. I like hanging around Hollywood Boulevard where all the other vampires are. I mean, this is just my thing, man. I love L.A. a lot. But, you know, now I'm housebroken and I got to stay home and, yeah, watch Netflix and babysit nephews and nieces and play Barbies and be a vampire.
What does being a vampire actually mean?
Dude, I don't know, man. It's easier for me than saying I'm antisocial. I don't like you. Go away from me because I got nothing to say to you. And don't try to get into my head. And please don't ask me about my career because I want to take this chair and bury it in your brain. I'd rather say I'm a vampire and I just have a hard time talking to people.
I can dig that. Here's a question for you since you have a hard time talking to people. Dude, y'all filmed the craziest trailer or whatever it was, but you were in the mental institute. It was phenomenal. Then Stryker picked you up.
What was it? The whole movie.
White car. I mean, dude, it was awesome. And I remember I sent you a text message. I said, hey, man, are you doing like a series or something?
Yeah.
It was that good. So what was that all about? Because it was amazing. And y'all going to do another one like that? Or is that a spoiler or what?
Oh, no. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, yeah, there's going to be more stuff like that. Eric Van Wagenen actually wrote that.
Oh.
And it was just, you know, the vampiro character, the schizophrenic guy, the bipolar, whatever you want to call it, who has all these voices in his head. I had so much fun doing that. And it certainly put me back on the map. Yeah. So, I mean, is there more coming? Oh, yeah. Darker and deeper and dirtier? Sure, for sure. Yeah, more occultish, no doubt about it. Yeah, I love that.
What's Matt Stryker doing in his spare time? Because, I mean, I think he's doing a great job as, you know, one of the voices of Lucha Underground as well. So, but what does he do when you guys aren't filming?
I think he just sits on the beach in New York and watches the stock market and kayfabes everybody. That's kind of what he does. He's the best worker in the business. He's always doing something, but he's doing nothing. And he's always everywhere, but he doesn't know anything. It's like, Matt, come on. He says, no, I don't know. You know, he's the ultimate kayfabe artist. He's probably the world champion.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. But he's at home. Dude, his passion is calling baseball. That's his thing, announcing baseball. I tell you, like I'm looking at you in the face. I'm telling you the truth. He is so knowledgeable, and he is so good. He will set up baseball cards, and he'll call a game. You don't even know what the hell's going on, but he'll just – I think that his destiny, he should be a baseball announcer. He's too good for wrestling. That's what I think. He's too knowledgeable. He's too talented. He's wasting his time sitting behind – I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Believe me, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have a job. He's the guy. I just think that he's got a bigger future being an announcer for a professional team. No doubt about it. He's that talented.
Is he trying to pursue that?
I don't know because he's such a pain in the ass when he kayfabes everything. But I don't care. I mean, I'm not going to tell anybody. And we're like brothers. I mean, but he just kayfabes.
Right.
But I mean, I think if somebody called him, he asked me, what should I do? I said, what are you, crazy? You go. That's what you do. Don't look back, brother. Swing for the fences, right? He's just too much, though. He's great. And he constantly is thinking about finishes and angles and high spots. He's 24/7 on, but you can't find him. And he's always kayfabing. So he's just a weird dude, man. He's one of us. What am I going to tell you?
Hey, what are you doing with your workouts? Last time I called you on the phone, you were benching 500. You were straining heavy again. You was in powerlifting mode.
Well,
right now, you're still okay. Pretty stacked.
What benching 500. So if you take 10 pounds and you bench press that 5,000 times, you get to 500. If I bench 500 pounds, you'd know about it. I'd be telling you. Because of all the injuries, the arthritis is so bad. It's so hard to lift weights. Basically, just body weight stuff now. Like I could deadlift every now and then. I get excited and I can still pull over 500 and all that kind of stuff. But body weight, there's no need for it. And with the martial arts and all that kind of stuff and my age, and you know, you don't want to be on stage playing a guitar and you're muscle bound, right? So I'm trying.
Well, it worked for Kane and Alice in Chains, but other than that, I mean, you don't see too many jacked up guys playing guitar in a rock and roll band other than the dude
Avenged Sevenfold.
From Misfits. Who?
events. Those dudes are they're MMA fans and they're doing all that. But Doyle from the, you know, he's just, I don't even know. He's just he does a push up and he's like, he's one of those guys, right? Because Jerry's his brother. Jerry looks like a hot dog, you know, with the skin that broke. And then you got Doyle, who looks like a young Arnold Schwarzenegger. And Doyle's like 56, 57.
Jesus Christ, he's that old?
Yeah.
Dude's in phenomenal shape.
I mean, they've been around since, you know, mid-70s.
Dude, I met those guys at a, one of the toy conventions in New York City.
Right.
20-some-odd years ago. And they come, two or three of them was jacked up. Obviously, Doyle was one of them. And they had on the platform shoes. So, I mean, I'm looking up at these dudes. I'm like, man, these some big sumbitches for being rock stars.
Yeah, they don't wear platforms. They're that tall.
Well, I know, but they had some gimmick shoes on because it was a little bit tall.
Doyle wears the Frankenstein boots.
Okay, I'm saying. Yeah, because I was looking up at the dude. I'm like, man, that dude ain't 6'7", you know, but he was that day.
Yeah, no doubt. And he's intimidating.
Jacked up, and I was thinking, man, we need to switch roles here. I'm the dude that looks kind of stringy. I need the guitar. You need to be out there taking bumps.
He's intimidating. He's intimidating, and he doesn't care. You think he doesn't talk? He doesn't give a. He doesn't care. He does not care about anything except hitting that guitar until his fingers bleed. And he breaks it on stage. He breaks it and he grabs another one. He makes his own stuff out of graphite. I mean, a guitar out of graphite is like you're picking up a tombstone. But he's a beast. He just beats it. It's just like he's too much.
Dude,
but he's
awesome. The deal with the Misfits? Because, okay, they're around and you're like, you're the authority on this. And I just know that, you know, hell, 15 years ago, I was in L.A., 14 maybe. I went and saw Glenn Danzig, and Superjoint Ritual was on the bill, and Hank 3 was playing with them at the time. And there was one other band, and I can't remember what that band was. But anyway, Glenn was super cool to me, man. We shot the breeze for about 2 hours before the show. We hung out after the show. Someone's coming in the back door. There's my black lad, Callie. Callie, welcome to the show. This is Vampiro.
Hey.
Callie, get your ass down. Hey, so Glenn was cool as shit. We had a great time. And this was when Phil was kind of really strung out at the time.
Okay.
So he didn't sound that great.
Okay.
And then, but anyway, and he's coming out of Pantera. Callie, goddammit, I'm trying to cut an award-winning podcast. We're talking about Lucha Underground and all kinds of cool stuff. So what's the rip between the Misfits and Glenn Danzig?
I just think Glenn's a huge wrestling mark.
I know.
Like,
I've been wanting to have him on the podcast. I don't know how to get hold of him.
He's like huge wrestling mark. I mean, you hear every version, but it was basically just an ego thing between him and Jerry, who was the leader of the band, who gets more t-shirt money. Stupid stuff like that. That's all it is. That's all it was. There was nothing else.
So what's behind a reunion tour? What got them back on the same page? Because this was like one of those deals where it's kind of like the Eagles. Hell freezes over. You got all the guys flying on different Lear jets because they can't stand each other, but they get back together so they can make a bunch of money. So,
well, I think there's a few things, right? One is at this stage in the game, they're not spring chickens.
Right.
And the demand is there. It's the right time. The fans, they can still go. They're the last of that generation who are still rocking. I think they saw the New York Dolls on tour, and the New York Dolls are older than them, and they were selling out and making astronomical amounts of money. I think that the amount of money that they're offered for this reunion tour, you know, we're talking $4 to $5 million a show, you'd be a fool to turn that down. I think that number is a lot bigger than anybody's ego, you would think, right?
And, man, that sounded like a lot of money per night.
Yeah, look at how much.
Well, nonetheless, whatever right? They're making a shit pile of money, okay?
Yeah.
But who are they touring with? What's the tour you speak of?
They're headlining.
I know, because they were going to come by here and do the podcast, but I was in Reno, so I couldn't have them on. I was madder than the Hornet.
I mean, I don't know who they're going to tour with. I mean, there's a million and one bands that are going to kill to be on that bill. I wouldn't be surprised if Metallica's going back out. I wouldn't be surprised if the Misfits were opening up some of those shows, because Metallica plays the Misfit songs. I don't think but at this stage, the Misfits, they did those three reunion shows, four, and they don't need anybody. They're strong enough. They got enough songs. They can do a 2.5-hour show easy, and they're going to do a world tour. It's good stuff, right? It's some big money. They're making some big money.
Well, I'm glad they are.
Yeah, God bless them, you know. They put in, well, how many, you know, when you're around for 40 years, You deserve it.
Dude, we were, my wife and I were driving down Lincoln Boulevard about 6 months ago, and there was a girl. She just got out of school, probably junior high, might have been high school, misfit shirt. That's one of the most iconic skulls in the history of the skull business. It won't die. So they're still making great merch money, not even touring.
You know that came from, I think it was a Marilyn Monroe movie, right?
Was it?
The Misfits, that skull,
yeah,
was from a ghoul in the movie. And I think they finally got the rights to that skull, officially.
Yeah.
And it's because you can see sometimes on stage somebody comes up with the hood and the whole thing. They couldn't use that, but the facial features, which is the skull you're talking about, they could. But I think it was just a couple of years ago that they finally got the rights from the movie people to use that skull and the name and all kind of stuff.
All right, what else you got going?
Don't be backhanded and chopping
dog. No, I'm not backhanded. I'm trying to pull this tennis ball out of her mouth, and she's got such a strong set of jaws, she's biting the shit out of my finger. And since I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin, I can't sell any pain, so it's me jerking my hand out of her mouth. Callie, you son of a bitch. No, it's my baby right here, man.
Yeah, she's great.
I lost my chocolate lab about 6 months ago. It was the first day we were filming Broken Skull Challenge, and I had to put that dog down that evening. And that was so hard. And then finally, we got Callie. She's now a year old. So she is kind of like Hershey was my shadow. That dog, if I picked up a set of keys, if I picked up my deer rifle at the ranch, I mean, she knew we were going on a ride in that Bronco or in my mule. And she was with me. So now, at a year of age, now Callie's kind of turning into my buddy. So now, she'll never take Hershey's place, but she's my new shadow.
There you go.
So, no, man, that dog never gets a backhand. She's so damn spoiled. Pick up your microphone. Let's take a little walk here. I'll show you something. Where I work out every night, I'll show you the setup to show you how spoiled these dogs are.
But you're in way bigger shape, better shape than a lot. Like, you're thick.
Look at that. That's a single-car garage, Vampiro.
Yep.
There's a piano on its side taking up all my space.
Okay.
You see the weight holders over there on that side?
Yes,
I couldn't
sir.
Even put them on this side because I ain't got enough room.
Got it.
I've got a power rack, one Olympic bar, a curl bar, a preacher bench, and a multi-adjust bench. That is where I come and get my swell on. And I leave this door open right here, and we got a silver lab as well. So I throw the ball in here to Callie, and then I throw the other ball in there to Mula. Dude, describe, here's the thing, you're one of the voices of Lucha Underground. You're a very articulate, eloquent young man.
Mm-hmm.
Describe my setup so that a Lucha Underground fan could understand what the hell I'm dealing with and what I'm training in.
Okay.
This is the barbaric atmosphere here.
It's so, well, first I'm going to say it is a carbon copy pretty much, except for the color scheme to my own garage. I have the exact same rack. You have more weights than I do because you're stronger. And if you would go on Google right now, or even looked on Netflix, the original Pumping Iron, what I'm looking at is pretty much the original Gold's Gym setup right there. That's all you need. If you can't get big on a squat rack, curl bar, and a bench, you got no business being in the gym. But dude, you are old school. That is dope as hell. That's the original Gold's Gym right there.
Dude,
Venice Beach. We're close.
See, yeah, I know. And that little gimmick speaker on the table, I'm charging that up. So I put that on my Bluetooth. So I got my jams going in there. I put it on Pandora. I can deadlift in there. I can squat, bench, do my military. I was working shoulders last night. Do my shrugs. And then I got 30, 50, and 70-pound dumbbells. And, dude, that's all I got.
That's all you need, brother. I'm surprised. You seem like the kind of guy who would like the power blocks. You ever train with those?
Yeah, I've seen those.
I mean, you just put the gimmick in and you go up and down.
And I thought about the power blocks, but man, it seemed like
that's the deal. That's what I got.
You got them?
Oh, hell yeah.
You dig them?
Yeah. You get 5 pounds to 90 pounds. It's awesome. Doesn't take up any space. I couldn't lift 90 pounds if you paid me. But
man, dude, have you got any shoulder problems?
Oh,
because I just had, I got the left rotator cuff done a few years ago. I got the right rotator cuff done 2 years ago.
How long did that take to recoup?
Dude, a year. I mean, totally, really, to try to get it back when you're starting. Because when they repaired everything and they were both major tears and everything got shredded, you're lifting a 2.5 pound dumbbell for a dumbbell side lateral. It was pink. Pink 2.5 pound dumbbell doing dumbbell side laterals. Yeah, that's what you're coming back from. So, yeah, I ain't pressing nothing heavy anymore.
I can't even bench. I can't bench press. I got my arthritis is so bad. My shoulders, they said, you know, even if we did your shoulders, you couldn't do anything anyway. So there's
Dude,
no point.
Dude, tell me about that arthritis, because I was talking to someone the other day. Man, he's got bad arthritis. And I just thought, you know, like maybe your joints hurt a little bit or something like that. But it's way more debilitating than that.
It's brutal. I have arthritis in my neck, lower back, my knees, my shoulders. I can't lift weights. Can't bench press. I just can't do it. It is so painful. But if you... They, you know, I go to a chiropractor. I got a team a pain management team. I before the amount of Percocets and Vicodins I had to take just to get out of bed was going to kill me. I became a vegan, 100% vegan, and medicinal marijuana, and I'm in control. I can train. I can fight. I do the Krav Maga. I do Thai boxing. Punch hard. Push-ups to there's no tomorrow. Deadlift strong. My arthritis doesn't hurt at all.
I mean, dude, you're 100% vegan?
Yeah, 100%.
Man, I've been flirting with that so long, but I just, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around it because I just had a dude over here a few times. He's been on my podcast a few times. He was a raging alcoholic. He was a drug addict. His name is David Clark, and he wrote a book called Out There, okay. A Story of Ultra Recovery. Now he's an ultra marathoner.
Right.
Really, really smart guy and really... You know, he kicked all his bad habits, and now it's amazing. So he's talking about this vegan lifestyle or that he does. But as an athlete, I mean, first of all, he's a long-distance runner. And it takes some nutrition to do that. But they're sure. Drinking Cokes or eating candy, you know, while they're running. Yeah, yeah. That's the energy source there. But, dude, as sustaining life for a guy who's – you're not really lifting heavy weights anymore. You're doing bodyweight exercises, but you're still doing your mixed martial arts.
Yeah.
So you're training – From that regard, you're still an athlete.
I'm still in the ring. I wrestle in Mexico.
What in the F are you doing or eating to, like, say, I mean, get 3,000 calories a day? Or you don't count that shit?
I mean, you do and you don't. I mean, when you go to the plant-based lifestyle, things change. Your mentality, your focus, your sleep habits, your pain is gone, your body composition. It's so miraculous, the changes. I drink these drinks with spices in it every day with a mixture of spices for the pain, the inflammation. It's unbelievable the energy I have. I'm wrestling 4 days a week in Mexico, aside from all this crazy stuff. I'm in the ring, moonsaulting and everything. Me at 50 years old with this shitty body, still in there. Just everything is – there's so much food out there. You know, if you mix the right beans and the cauliflower and the nuts and there's just so many options. And I would say about 60% of my diet's liquid diet, just the juicing and the right protein powders and all that. Yeah, yeah, it's awesome. It's totally awesome. Can't go back. Can't go back.
When
Can't touch meat if you
vegan?
Put it in front of me. When? It's been 2 years. 2 years.
So what made you decide to start? You read about the anti-inflammatory qualities of the vegan lifestyle?
Well, John Joseph, who's the singer of the Cro-Mags, I don't know if you heard of them. Cro-Mags is a hardcore band.
Man, the Cro-Mags have been around forever.
Those
Get
guys.
It? No
yeah,
pun
yeah.
intended.
There you go.
See what I did?
Yeah, you did. And I'm not going to sell it.
No, go ahead.
But I'll put it over. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, New York City hardcore guys from the 80s. He, you know, he lived on the street, a crackhead, a thief, criminal, all that kind of stuff. He became a Hare Krishna and he got into the vegan lifestyle. He's 56 years old. He's touring worldwide, does eight world triathlons a year. And when the student is ready, the teacher will come. And I heard him on a podcast here from L.A., and he was just like every second word was like the most foul cuss word, New York City street kid. He was just, mah, mah, mah. But he's a vegan. He's a chef. And it just clicked the light on, and I was like, damn. And I went home. I threw out – after I heard him on the radio, I threw out everything I had in my kitchen. Everything. My
come
daughter,
on, man.
I swear to God.
Yeah.
And I was like – because he's one of my heroes. And I was like, and I went to the health food store. I bought everything that he talked about. And I haven't turned back. Haven't turned back. Haven't turned back, man. There's this product called Gardein. And it's meatballs, patties, burgers, chicken. But it's all soy-based. You can't tell. You just can't tell, man. And that's it. I'm just on the kick. And even at Lucha Underground and catering, they got all, you know, it's L.A., dude. They got fish and lobster. And I'm like, no, where's the beans and lettuce and spinach? And that's it. And everybody's like, really? And I'm like, yeah, man. And I'm going to be 51, and I'm running circles around these guys.
Yeah, but I was hearing from the guy just talking about David Clark and another guy who started that plant-based stuff. And everybody talks about the energy surge and all this other stuff. Man, come on, man. Is there a surge in energy?
I'm telling you straight up. I'm telling you, man, I wake up and I have my little vegan shake, you know, my organic stuff, and I the detoxification, and I'm a fan of Death Wish Coffee. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, forget about it. I go in the gym and it's like, everybody's like, are you on drugs? And I'm like, no, man. I'm just off 4-hour workouts. Yesterday I did 3 hours of Krav Maga, just with my eyes closed. Like it was nothing. Heavy bag, elbow strikes, kicks, punches. Went to Gold's Gym, got on the bike, did all that. Went to Lucha Underground, did all the vignettes.
Dude, you went to Gold's Gym, the one here in Venice?
No. The one up in downtown LA.
Okay, man, I was going to ask you about the scene down there. What, is there a scene at the one downtown LA?
I mean, yeah, there is. I mean, it's all these office people, right? They come in there and they don't know what's going on. But, you know, and they got a boxing ring, so I was in the boxing ring doing my boss route and workout, you know, up, down, burpees, back bumps, somersaults. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? I'm like, pro wrestling, baby. Yeah. All over the place. And they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm working out. Kettlebelling it, and, you know, all these crazy things. And I love it, man.
What's your kettlebell? What's your go-to kettlebell movement?
Depends on what I'm training, but that, strangely enough, I can do over my head. That's the only one that I can swing up over my head and press, right? Because whatever, but there are Krav Maga movements where we get, you know, someone's choking you, so we use the kettlebell as if you were pushing off the body, and you get up with that. So they're just giving resistance on the striking movements. You know, it depends. Every day is different, right?
Dude, I'm so old school. I was watching these guys do these kettlebells. I'm thinking, man, all they're doing is basically the kettlebell swing, you know, between the legs, two-handed.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, come on, man. What is this all about? These guys swinging these weights? That's bullshit. And so for years, I said,
Did you ever done it?
It ain't my gimmick, man.
Right.
I'm a barbell and dumbbell guy.
Okay.
Well, I got a kettlebell right there in my garage gym. It's a 40-pounder. Dude, I got in, I call it the hike position.
Right.
I got in the hike position. I started swinging that sumbitch, and I was like, holy shit. After about 20 swings, I was blowed up.
Yeah.
So I'm a believer now.
Hell yeah.
And dude, that's just one movement.
No doubt. That's, because you swing it and you're pushing with your hips. We in Krav Maga, for us, that's, you know, that's the first initial end is that pop. I mean, it'll kick your ass. There's no, don't play around. I mean, there's a reason that the Soviet military lives off that stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it ain't because it's pretty.
No, and there's a one guy on YouTube. He's actually a Russian guy. He does all
Paul something, the military.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
who he is.
He's always got the green cargo pants on.
Yeah.
I was watching that guy, and like, yeah. And all of a sudden, I started doing that shit. And I was like, man, this shit's hard.
There's no doubt, brother.
I'm a believer now.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't, everybody was like vegan. I was like, give me my pizza and I want those ribs and go away. But man, even my tacos, they're lentils. Just lentils and sweet potato, beans and mango. No cheese. I make my own cheese out of nuts.
Yeah, you do?
Yep. Vegan cheese. It's easy to do.
So what is your...
I actually went to school to become a vegan chef. I'm 3 months in. I got 3 more months to go.
Where's that at?
In Mexico.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
See, here's the thing. My wife is a vegetarian. She's the first vegetarian I ever met in my life.
Wow, so you know.
And so she'll eat egg whites, but that's the only thing that from an animal she would eat. So that's it. And she'll eat cheese.
I mean,
so whatever, ovo, lacto, all the different things, dude. So I don't know. I just know my wife's straight up vegetarian.
Right.
And like you said, man, she'll make some stuff when we're doing tacos. And I'll say, man, you know, I don't want any ground beef. I'll eat that stuff that you're having. Dude, it tastes just like beef.
Yeah.
It's just as filling.
You can use walnuts.
Really?
Yeah, break them up because once you spice them, you can't tell the texture is the same as ground beef. That's the big thing, lentils and walnuts.
Well, I'm going to give it a try.
Sweet potato, black beans, and mango. There you go. That's it right there.
Well, before we sign off, anything else you want to promote, talk about?
Yes.
Share some wisdom about?
Please. The plant-based diet, it saves lives. It'll save your life. It helps so many people who have mental health issues. I went back to school. I got a degree in mental health, and I'm using the martial arts to help kids who have learning disabilities, hand-eye coordination, all that kind of stuff. And I'm beyond convinced, because I'm living proof, that a healthy plant-based eating system will save your life. And I beg you to, everybody who's worried about their health, their future, their kids, or whatever it is, give it a try, because it really will make a difference. On my website at the end of April, VampiroTV.com, I have an online pro wrestling school where you send me your stuff and I will speak with you. I will give you a program that will help you refine your game so that when you do go get an opportunity to be in front of a bigger company, a better promoter, or really want to go for it, I will give you what I think are the keys that you need to take to the table. And one of the things I stress is eating, and the other thing is getting an education and having an alternative stream of income. So VampiroTV.com at the end of April, that will be up, and it's only to try to help the younger generation, because doing seminars, I think, is bullshit. I think it's older guys who are hanging on to their name, taking your money, and telling you to hit the ropes and telling you how shitty you are. I will actually, you know, help you get educated. So that's kind of what's all I wanted to talk about and say and promote, and hopefully people dig it.
All right. On Twitter, you are at Vampiro_Vampiro.
Yep.
I'm at Steve Austin, BSR. Man, it's good catching up with you.
It's good to see you, man. It's good to see you, brother.
Like $1 million.
Yeah.
Minus $999,000.
That would be me. That would be me.
Hi, this is Eric Bigger from The Bachelorette, here to tell you about my new show, Bigger Talks, exclusively on Podcast One. Every week, I will be here with my guests, taking a deeper look into subcultures of American life, from relationships to race to gender to sexuality. We're highlighting the strength of diversity. So please join me every Wednesday for Bigger Talks with me, Eric Bigger, right here on Podcast One. Download and listen to new episodes exclusively at PodcastOne.com, the new Podcast One app, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts.
All right, everybody, give me the go home cue. It's time to wrap up this podcast and ride off in the sunset. But before I do that, I want to thank my guest, Ian Hodgkinson, Vampiro of Lucha Underground on the El Rey Network, one of the voices. Him and Matt Stryker calling that action. Coming by the crib today and shooting the breeze. One of my favorite subjects to talk about on this podcast is pro wrestling. We got that covered today. Good seeing you, Ian. Best of luck with this season of Lucha Underground. I'm looking forward to seeing this season. Give you guys something to watch. If you get on YouTube, just type in Lucha Underground Holy Shit Moments, and you'll find all three volumes. I watched them all, and you can watch all the badass action those guys and gals are doing over there, and it's some good shit. So check it out and get yourself primed up for season 4 of Lucha Underground on the El Rey Network. Hey, man, like I was saying before, I will be in New Orleans, Louisiana, Sunday, April 8th, 2018, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Central Time, right there at the Sheraton New Orleans Hotel, 500 Canal Street, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70130. Go to highspots.com, and they'll have more information about this appearance. I don't do appearances very often. I haven't made one in many years. I wanted to go down to New Orleans. Looking forward to getting down there. Louisiana is one of my favorite states to wrestle in, travel in, be in. And I love that Cajun food. I'm looking forward to eating some crawfish etouffee, some jambalaya, some raw oysters, some vignettes. I'm looking forward to drinking some Bloody Marys, some whiskey, some margaritas, and a couple of beers. I'm going to have one of everything, I think. It's WrestleMania time. It's time to celebrate. And I know WWE is going to put on a hell of a show. Looking forward to getting down there. Go to highspots.com to find out more about my personal appearance, along with everybody else that will be appearing. Hey, man, if you're looking for some Broken Skull Ranch shirts, we got some. They're at prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Austin. If you're thirsty and you want a damn good IPA, I got a good one. It's called Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA from El Segundo Brewing Company. And you can get it at Whole Foods and Total Wines if you live in Cali. If you don't live here, check out InsideTheCellar.com and see if they ship to your state. And I highly suggest that everybody has a pocket knife. And if you need a good one, I got two of them. It's the Cold Steel Broken Skull Knife and the Cold Steel Working Man's Knife. And you can get them at my new Amazon store. Amazon has the best price on both knives. Just go to Amazon.com/shop/Steve Austin. And I want to say thank you one more time to the fine sponsors of the Steve Austin Show. That's how I'm able to do this podcast for you twice a week for free. And you can find all my sponsors at PodcastOne.com. Just click on the Killer Deals button at the top of the page and then click on the Steve Austin Show banner. Speaking of Podcast One, the new Podcast One app is now available for download at the App Store or Google Play. There ain't another single podcast app like this one anywhere, and that's because the new Podcast One app is loaded with some cool-ass features that let you do a lot more than just listen to your favorite shows. You can access behind-the-scenes photos, articles, and connect with other fans of the shows you like. Watch over 1,000 360 virtual reality videos. You can actually watch some of your favorite shows in virtual reality. It's like you're sitting right in the same room with them. So get to the App Store, Google Play, and download the new Podcast One app now. Folks, until next time, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
This has been a Podcast One production. Download new episodes of The Steve Austin Show every Tuesday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.